Well, good morning again. Grateful to worship together this morning here, bright and early. I love Easter. One of the unique things about Easter is the fact that we start the service every year saying, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. It reminded me, as I was thinking about what to share this morning, of one of the distinct realities of the resurrection, especially when you look at it in Scripture. The nature of the resurrection as we find it in the four Gospels is that of an announcement. It is an announcement that Christ has risen. What's interesting is that what you don't see, what you don't have in the four Gospels, is an actual recording of the details of the resurrection itself. That happened inside the tomb, away from prying eyes, as it were. Christ arose. What we find in the Gospels is the angels announcing it to the women announcing it to the disciples announcing it to Thomas, and then in the book of Acts, the apostles, after Christ is risen, announcing again and again, Christ is risen, often at the climax of a sermon, preaching to those that had crucified Christ, He is risen. It's an announcement. It's very interesting because the resurrection in that regard is completely unlike the death of Christ. When we view the death of Christ in Scripture, what we find is a very carefully described description of Jesus on the cross. In particular, we find a very meticulous account of the actual death of our Lord and Savior. The gospel writers go and make specific effort to show that Jesus did in fact die. The resurrection account actually resembles more than anything the account of Jesus' birth. Because the birth of Jesus Christ is an announcement. Before Christ comes and after Christ comes, angels appear repeatedly announcing, the child will come, the child has come. Go and see what the Lord has done. Angels announcing the birth of Christ. In particular, another way that the resurrection account relates to the birth of Christ is the fact that though we know Jesus Christ was conceived in the Virgin Mary's womb, we do not know how it happened. What does the Scripture say? The Holy Spirit, God will overshadow her. But when it comes to the actual conception of Jesus, it is hidden from our eyes. We might even say, in the words of Psalm 139, very familiar to us, that His frame, Jesus' frame, was hidden from us when He was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of Mary's womb. We might ask a similar question concerning the resurrection. How exactly did Jesus rise? Of course, our answer would be, He rose by the power of God. The power of God raised Jesus from the dead. Yes, but what was it like? What was it like? What was there to see in that tomb when the neurons in Jesus' brain had died, came back to life, and began firing again? What did it look like when His lungs inhaled and took a fresh gulp of air? When His heart filled with blood and began pumping that blood throughout His body and all the cells simultaneously turned back on and came alive inside the tomb? When we find Jesus there in the darkness, sitting up, passing through the grave clothes, maybe folding the headpiece and leaving it there, blinking as He adjusts His eyes to the dim light of the tomb. We don't have these details from Scripture, these intimate details of the actual resurrection. They're hidden from our sight. Not just hidden because we weren't inside the tomb, but hidden from us because in God's infinite wisdom, He has chosen us to give an announcement, not a description of the actual rising of Jesus. The last we see of Jesus after the cross is when He's in the tomb on the Sabbath day. The religious leaders are concerned that Jesus is going to escape. They go to Pilate. They ask and receive a guard. They put a seal on the tomb. And that's where we leave Jesus until the next update we have is early Sunday morning. And Jesus has already risen. Listen as I read from Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Verse 2. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning. Verse 3. Verse 4. The guards shake from fear. Verse 5. The angel announces to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified, but he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying." This is totally unlike the cross. When we have the account of the cross, Jesus' crucifixion, it's almost like we have a front row seat. We see the sign that's been raised above his head, Jesus, King of the Jews. We hear the taunts of the religious leaders, the passers-by. We hear the taunts even of the thief on the cross. Actually, both thieves next to Jesus. "If you're the Son of God, save yourself," they were saying. "You who are going to destroy the temple and raise it in 3 days, save yourself." We hear the taunting. We see the darkness. We listen to Jesus' final words when he gives up his spirit. We mourn with the women at the death of our Savior. But as I mentioned earlier, more than anything, we see the death of Jesus Christ verified. They didn't break his legs. He was already dead. It's almost as if we're there and we watch the soldier take the spear and plunge it into the side of our Lord, and water and blood come out, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has died. Yet the only eyes that are inside the tomb are the eyes of Jesus. This doesn't cause us to doubt that it happened. Scripture is crystal clear, and the events that unfold after the resurrection prove beyond a doubt that Jesus did in fact rise. But what happens is we get an announcement. As I was thinking about this yesterday, I began to wonder if the reason that God has not given us that view inside the tomb is because God knew that if he did that, he would reveal more information than he wanted to about what our resurrection bodies will look like in the future. Think about this with me for a second. Whenever we think about what our future resurrected bodies are going to look like, where do we go? We go to 1 Corinthians 15, but what we also do is we go to the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. And it's in those appearances that we glean the most information about what our future bodies will be like. I wonder if God, in his infinite wisdom, withheld that actual, specific, detailed account of the rising of our Lord because it would have given us more information than God wanted us to have, maybe potentially causing us to take our eyes off the goal of heaven, which is Christ, which is not a resurrected body, though we look forward to that. The focus of heaven is Christ. What we have is an announcement. Again, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. All of the details of the Gospels describe for us an announcement. And as we think about this announcing of our Savior's resurrection, it's really interesting to me that what we have, this announcement itself, the nature of it, resembles a sunrise. The resurrection announcement resembles a sunrise. And that's fitting because we're at a sunrose service. My dad has mercy on us because we meet after the sun has risen. Not only our Savior, but the actual sun, that big glowing ball of fire in the sky. I have been to an actual sunrise service outside in the state of Missouri. It was awesome, but it was early, it was dark, and it was cold. And there were a couple distractions because there was a lot of wildlife around. Now, if you're in the audience and the speaker's not very good, that's a plus. Instead of counting ceiling tiles, if you're at an outdoor sunrise service, well, you're counting rabbits and deer and all these other things that are happening. Birds are out doing their thing. There's lots to look at. But as we think about this announcement, with the time we have left, I want to go through the announcing of our Savior's resurrection and compare it to a sunrise, because I believe that's what we see as we look into the pages of Scripture. The announcing of our Savior and His rising from the dead, it begins just like a sunrise, which actually starts before you even see anything. It begins with the promise that the sun will come up tomorrow. The promise that the sun will rise again. This is exactly what the angels reminded the women at the tomb. The sun is going to rise. He said it, and it happened. In Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 6, we find this reminder. The angels say, Jesus is not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of God must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. It's almost as if the angels were reminding the women that, hey, before all this happened, Jesus said, a dark night is coming. The darkness of death is coming. But trust me, there will be light. There will be morning. In 3 days, the Son of God, will rise again. The sunrise from on high is coming. Well, not only like a sunrise does it start with a promise, the sunrise, the resurrection of Christ, it starts small. Out in the east, just a little glow on the horizon. You can't actually see the sun yet. No rays are really visible. You can't really feel the heat yet. It's just a glow. It's just like the orange I saw this morning out in the east as I was reading my Bible. It starts small. What we find in the Scripture, of course, is that the glow of that sun beginning to rise is actually the glow of the dazzling angel that rolled away the stone from the tomb for the women. In Matthew 28, verse 2, behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. Beginning of the sunrise, the announcing has begun. An angel, a flaming, lightning-like angel, is there to pass the word. It's interesting, too, if you find yourself close enough to the sun, I don't know how you would do that, but if you found yourself close enough to the sun, even just that beginning glow of our physical sun would be enough to knock you on your feet. It's the same thing with the angels. Listen to what happens in verse 4. The guards shook for fear of them. They became like dead men. It's possible that they even passed out and were unconscious for a time because of the magnificent glory of not God himself, but God's messengers. The sunrise begins with a promise, starts small with a glow in the east, but soon rays of sunlight begin falling on everyone and everything. That's exactly what happens when the announcement of Christ's resurrection continues to grow. Because the light of the knowledge of his rising starts falling on everyone, like beams from the sun. They fall first on Mary Magdalene. She gets information right away. Not long after that, rays of light fall on Mary, Salome, and certain other women. Soon after that, light falls on Peter and John as they race to the tomb. Still later in that day, the light falls on two disciples on the road to Emmaus. At evening, all the disciples share in this announcement, minus Thomas in the upper room. 8 days later, Thomas gets the information. And then when the sun is at its peak, at its zenith, in the midday, when there's nothing that can escape the light of our physical sun, we find too with the announcement of the resurrection of Christ that he appears to over 500 people at one time in Galilee at the mountain where he told the disciples to go and wait for him. And finally, as the sun begins to wane, the announcement falls on one last man. His name is Paul. He calls himself one untimely born because he's late to the party. The sun is setting, but the ray of light falls on him, opens his eyes, and rescues him. It's important to note here that as we're thinking about the resurrection of Christ being told to us in the form of an announcement, that we get this information. The people that receive the information about Christ rising, they often get it from angels. And what purpose do angels serve in Scripture? Angelic messengers doing God's bidding. Just like at the birth of Jesus Christ, angels are there when Jesus rises to make sure, like at the birth, that those people do not miss the significance of what has happened. The tomb is empty, but the tomb is empty, the angels say, not because the body was stolen, but because the Son rose just as he said. It's like an announcement. Almost everyone that receives news of Christ rising in our scripture accounts is told to tell other people. It's an announcement that's meant to be announced to others, and so we read that one hears, and then they run and tell another, and sometimes they don't believe them, and so then they tell them again, and on it goes. In fact, we're still announcing. We're still announcing, and until the Lord comes, we will continue to say, Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. It never gets old, and I would say, according to the form of the account that we have in the Gospels of the resurrection, we are doing exactly what God wants us to do when we announce the birth to other people. Like an announcement, the reality, the truth of God's rising, it's an announcement that can be accepted or rejected. We see that with the religious leaders. They reject it. But they reject it not because they don't know that the tomb is empty. They reject it because they know the tomb is empty and they're afraid of what that means. You can't hide from the light of the sun. It's almost as if the religious leaders looked up into that sun that had risen fully, closed their eyes and said, I don't believe. I don't believe. Well, you can do that. You can reject what's clearly there, but that doesn't take it away. And in fact, if you have even a modicum of honesty within yourself, you have to admit that that light, that heat is there, and you can feel it. I believe that they felt the light, though they closed their eyes. Finally, like a sunrise, after the rays begin to pour down on us, we also feel the heat of the sun. It's very interesting. Listen to what the disciples on the road to Emmaus say. They actually say that they felt the heat of the Son of God that had risen. In Luke chapter 24, we'll just read verse 32. After Jesus had vanished from their sight, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Their hearts were burning. Jesus appeared to a number of individuals after he rose from the grave, but one more that is good to look at is found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, because he appears to the women, and what happens is, in the presence of the light, the knowledge, the heat, the understanding of their Savior, they fall down and worship him, the correct response. See that in verse 9. Behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Unlike the religious leaders, they responded rightly. They felt the heat, they knew the truth, they saw the light, and by God's grace, they responded in worship. Finally, in his last appearance before Jesus ascends into heaven, I want to note what he says there. He says, essentially, that he will empower his disciples to be witnesses, witnesses of the resurrection, in order that they might do what? Announce the resurrection to the entire world. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. After this, these things, he was lifted up. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had received an announcement. Jesus said, it's your turn to announce. I'm returning to my Father. Take what you have heard and tell the rest of the world. When you read through the book of Acts, you see that over and over again. And what's been happening for 2,000 years is that people have been announcing, Christ has risen. He's risen indeed. Now, it's our turn. God has empowered us, God has called us, and God has sent us out to announce the fact that we have the witness, the record, the revelation, the testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. What's the content of this announcement? I can't give it away because that's the subject of our time together in our morning worship service. My dad would have my hide. But I will give you one word because it's in the bulletin and it's already been given away. What are we announcing in one word? Victory. Victory over Satan, sin, and death. That's our announcement. Let's pray. Father, you sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That included a life of perfection, a death in agony, and a resurrection in glory. We worship you. We worship the Son. We worship your Spirit. We praise you for not leaving us in our sin, but for sending our champion, our Savior, our rescuer. Father, you announced this to us. You have given us the record of it. Pray that we, Father, would not be ashamed to do what your children have done for these last 2,000 years, to tell the world that Christ has risen. He's risen indeed. Amen.